the thingy. Okay. So yeah, God wants to do a new thing in our lives. And so, you know, I prayed about it all week. How many feel like it's time for a change in your life?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Most everybody in here. And sometimes it's real easy, and different personalities, different things, are different
temperaments.
Some people just like get stuck. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm just okay where I'm at. Well, I come to tell you this morning, God isn't okay with that.
Amen.
He's okay where you're at, but He really isn't okay with you just staying where you're at. Because if we just stay where we're at, then we're not advancing in the kingdom.
That's right.
In God's kingdom, in our calling, in our life. And we're missing out. How many want to miss out on something? I don't. I'm greedy like that. Okay? I want all I can get. I want all I can get from God. And I want to always be moving forward in His kingdom purpose for my life. And if we're not, we're just kind of this pew warmers. We're just those guys and gals that are just content in. It's okay to be content, but we're being content in self. Does that make sense?
Right.
Being content in self doesn't always mean that that's what God's will is for our life.
Right.
And we get kind of stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And time just it'll pass us by. And we can look in the mirror just in a short period of time and say, whoa, And I had a Bob Dylan song, and I wanted that. No, I wasn't going to sing it, okay? Unless y'all wanted to do a cappella with me. But how many know that song, "The Times They Are A-Changing"?
Okay.
It's a great poetic song. Y'all can look it up because I seem to have lost it from my house to here. But it's a great poetic song. Song about the times they are changing. How many know the times are changing right now around us in things? But there's a lot of people who kind of just put their head down like a, what's the
ostrich in the sand.
The ostrich, or is it an
ant
eater?
Ostriches?
Okay.
They don't really, but that's the myth about it.
Yeah. The ant eaters actually go down in there with their heads. But, and so they're not really seeing the surroundings, right? They're not really seeing what's going on around them. So you can get stuck in Facebook.
That's right.
You can get stuck on cable, Xfinity TV, and all these different things, Netflix, and all these different things in our life, and the time's just flying by.
Right.
So I think the Lord's really impressed me, and over the last few months, actually, too, we've got rid of our cable. And that was a challenge. That was challenging for me because there's some real, you know, car shows and things that I like on there and stuff. Now, Penny fixed it where I could still see American Pickers with this one, what is it?
Slang TV.
I'm still struggling how to use it.
Sound like we have Netflix, Hulu, Sling TV, and something else. So it's not like we're not watching anything.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say that we don't have anything, but I have cut back.
Yeah.
Because you can just be.
That's right. That's overwhelming.
And I tend to zone out. I do. I can zone out on American Pickers just like show after show and stuff. So even then, I've had to make some changes in my life. Now, so I've seen several hands about how many feel like they need some change. How many are, as we call it, it's a non-specific, but how many really don't know how to make a change right now? Okay? Yeah. Well, the $1,000 question, Evan. How? How do I make this change? Well, one of the things we need to know is that God wants to speak to us on how to lead us. And it says that if we lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, then what?
He will direct
our paths with an S. So there's many paths, not just one path, many paths. So today we're going to be over in Isaiah 43, and Joshua did me a PowerPoint this morning. That's unusual for me, right? So Isaiah 43, if you got your Bibles, if you like to look in your Bibles, I do, as you can tell, I like to look at my Bible. The duct tape still works, right? Isaiah 43. Anybody know who's Isaiah?
Prophet.
A prophet? What kind of prophet was Isaiah?
He wound up with his sister. He just pleased his ruler.
He displeased, yeah. He did. Very good. In the future of what? Of Christ. Yes. Yeah. He had some great prophecies, and so God used him mightily. And in this instance, in 43 here, where he's if you back up, you can look if your Bible has references. But he's talking to the, of course, Israel. Israel's redeemed here in 43. Is talking. The Lord's talking with him. And then over here where we're going to be at, it's talking about Babylon to be being destroyed. Babylon and was actually holding the Israelites captive again. Here they are again. And so the text here says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and the streams in the wasteland.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Today I want to challenge you to believe with me and ask yourself, why not?
Amen.
Okay? Why not? Why would you not want change in your life?
Maybe because you feel comfortable right where
you are. Okay.
Fear. Mm-hmm.
Who said that? Fear? Fear? Fear of what?
Failure.
Failure?
What else?
Pain.
Pain.
Discomfort.
Discomfort?
Fear of not knowing.
Fear of not knowing.
Okay.
What else? Why don't we want change? Those are some good things. And so, go ahead.
I think sometimes that you fear change because it's we fear the change God wants to make us do, and we don't want to do the change.
Why don't
we don't agree with it?
Absolutely.
Ooh, we got to grow up.
Got to grow up.
Got to face some what? Some realities, right? We got to face the self.
Yeah.
We were talking about this week, I think. Maybe it was in CR, I'm not sure, but over at Good Shepherd. But no, it's Bethany the other night at Family Council God puts it in your face. Sometimes we just go like that. Oh, don't want to see that, right? Right, bobbing and weaving like Muhammad Ali used to. You don't know more because he's crippled. But that's what happens, right? I mean, it's in our face. Sometimes God has to do that. But Isaiah's writing to the children of Israel here, and he came at a challenging time in their life. And it's kind of a dismal time. It's a dismal period of time in a part of history, wasn't it? Because they were what?
captive?
Yeah, in Babylon, here they are again, the children of Israel. Anybody remember the past? Where was the children of Israel?
Wilderness.
And where else?
They were
slaves. So they're somewhat in this period of time in history again. So they're in captivity here. They've lost everything they thought they would keep forever. Anybody know what that means? And they were homesick for the land and the blessing, really, that God had told them about.
Right.
And so they find themselves, amen, in this place all over again where they were back in Egypt. And all those years of the past. And things didn't look like they had hoped for, did it?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody in here besides, and we... Really, right now in your life, things are not really looking exactly the way you hoped for.
That's right.
Amen.
You're like, what? Why? All these questions to God. What? Why? So, the first step to embracing something new, the new thing what God wants to do in your life is this. Change your focus. You got to change your focus. You got to quit looking behind and start looking ahead. Anybody know the old saying, quit looking in the rear view mirror?
Mm-hmm.
What usually happens if you're focused on the rear view mirror if you're driving down the road? You're going to hit something probably head on, or you're going to have a crash, right? So why don't we spend half our time looking in the past? Huh? Not all of it, though, is it?
How do you know it? Like it's you're not. Because you don't remember the bad of the past, you remember the good, and that's the devil brings the good before he brings the bad.
Ah, so look at 18 there. He says, do not call to mind the former things.
That's right.
Why is that?
Because they're gone, they don't count anymore.
They're gone, they don't count anymore. Forget the former things. Do not. You can't dwell on the past, even if it's a victory.
That's right.
Even if it's a victory, you can't dwell on the past. So if you're continually looking behind, you can't see where you're going. You can't see even right now. You can't see this moment. You can't see the future or where you're going. So you can't. You know what they say about that, you know, in the rearview mirror thing. Well, you have to keep looking forward. And it's okay. Paul said it. How did Paul say it? Anybody know that scripture?
Forgetting those things which are behind,
I press on.
That's right.
To what? The high calling of God. You see, God don't want us to get stuck in the past. He don't want us to continue to look in the past. It's okay. You're going to always remember things and those kind of things. You either learn from them if they're bad and you move on. You get healed from them. You get delivered from them. You get set free from them. Are you... Don't, and you begin to stay in the same pattern in your life. And it continues over
and over
and over again. What is a pattern, guys?
Systematic
what?
Strategic.
Way of negotiating life stress.
Excellent.
And that's what a pattern is. It's the way we negotiate our stress in life. And it doesn't matter if it's good or bad. We continue in it.
We're used to it.
It's a pattern that we get used to it. It's like an addiction. It's like it's insanity in a way. And
right.
When it's bad, when it's in a place. But even in our good things, God wants to increase that too.
Amen.
Adjust our patterns in life. And so you got to understand, God wants to do something new in your life all the time. He's wanting you to advance in the kingdom. He's wanting you to advance in His image. He created you to be in what? His image. And so He's always wanting us to to advance. So you can't depend upon past victories to sustain you or carry you through the present or the future. You just can't even look at the victories you had and think that that's going to be enough for today. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Because it ain't enough.
There's seasons. And your seasons are going to bring different victories in different ways.
Look around us. Look, if you want, I can't hardly watch the news, but you look at any news. Is anything working the way today that it worked even 5 years ago? Mm-hmm. Even the cars. We just got through looking. It was like...
Brand new old car,
yeah. But the technology and everything, even in the cars, I'm like, I don't want all that computer stuff. I just need simplicity. And I got to thinking, well, you know what? They're still carburetors. Now, they've had them gone about 20 years now. That's why I drive a 30-year-old truck. But... you know, I'm one of those people, and I could get stuck in certain things. So I had to really just struggle with that. And I heard the words here a minute ago. Fear was telling me, sure as we buy this thing, that stinking computer on that dash is going to tear up. And I can't fix it.
No, you're
right there. I can't fix it. You know what? God says you don't always need control.
That's right.
Ouch.
That's when you get a bumper-to-bumper warranty.
Yeah. Well, I left that on my wife, and I'm glad she took it. You know, it's $1,500 more. So, bumper-to-bumper warranty. Woo-hoo, yeah. And roadside assistance. So.
Yay!
So it's not Ronnie anymore. The car's tore up. But you know what I'm saying. So times, they're always changing. And we got to change with them. We got to find ways to adjust and adapt and our patterns and our things that we act in a godly manner in our life. For instance, the children of Israel here, let's look at them. The children of Israel, they had plenty of victories, you know, didn't they? I mean, you think about it in their past, and some of them come with a price, though, didn't they?
Yeah. They all came with a price.
But some of them just come freely. Anybody think of, well, we've got a few up here. What about leaving Egypt? Was that a victory? Anybody remember how many years they were in bondage?
400.
Over 400 years.
Yep, give or take.
That's a long time.
That's a lot of generations, even of people, of the families, even, that were in bondage. Right? Conquering the land in Canaan. Fighting off prospective conquerors. They're fighting all the time for what God had told them. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Survived a split in their own, in the country, didn't they? So all these things, but now here they are again in captivity. All their previous victories were, doing nothing for them, was it? At this time, they're set right back where they were again. And they needed a new work. They needed a new miracle from God, didn't they? A new victory from God. Anybody feel like that sometimes? God, I need something new. I need a victory. I need to move on.
Yes.
But I do not know how to do this. I cannot do it on my own. And you cry out, and you're crying out to God, and you're asking Him, where are you, God, sometimes? You're asking, why not, God? Just like these children of Israel, over and over again in their life and the patterns they lived in. But one thing that they struggled with was they would turn away from God.
And want
to go back to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Even in this time, they're still looking in the back window of life. And they find that. it's a miserable place to be because you can't go back.
That's right.
You can't change your past. If you're an addict, you can't change that.
That's
you,
right.
If you're an alcoholic, you can't change that. What that you, the things of the past, right?
That's
that
right.
First drink, that first line, any of that stuff you've done, the first mistake you've made, that first marriage that was a failure, that one thing that just has just plaguing your mind, that relationship that you thought was from God, and all of a sudden it went to hell in a handbasket. Right?
Also, the things that you never got. You can't change the fact that you never got certain things. Yeah. Many of us still continue to look back and be angry at the things that we never got that we wanted.
Very good point.
So what is God doing right now in your life? What is it you want Him to do in your life right now?
Miracles.
Miracles. How many stucco and really don't even know how to ask? So what are we supposed to do? Seek Him what?
First.
And then what happens? All things are added then. So why is it when we get beat down? Why is it when we get in a place in our life where we're struggling and we don't want to ask anybody else because why? We're so prideful or we don't want them to know that we relapsed or we had made bad decisions again and all this stuff. You know, and then you've got pastors, you've got people of sponsors, you've got accountability people in your life that really has a lot of wisdom. Well, why don't we call them?
You might not like what they want.
Ooh, girl.
That's right. Thank you when you call Penny.
Woo, praise the Lord.
My phone rarely rings. We know. You have not heard a word, I have to say. That's confirmation.
Here's the thing, and this is good. But let me tell you something. You may not be calling on God the same way you may not want to be calling on Penny.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you know what? God is love, but God is really? No joke. He is no nonsense God.
That's right.
And He is righteous, and He will always lead you to the righteous path.
Yes.
You will not always want to hear what He has to say.
Come on.
So a lot of times, we don't go to the prayer closet. We don't go to the altar. We don't go to the pastor, preacher, teacher, whatever it is. We go to where? We go back in the old pattern, in the old past, and we find our security in somebody at the bar who's sitting over there. They're going to tell you exactly what you need to hear.
That's
from
right.
The old man.
Uh-huh.
That old nature, that old flesh wants to hear, oh, it's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. Here, have another shot.
Uh-huh.
Don't worry about it. Come on. We'll go get a room.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Why do we do that? Because we are battling always flesh and spirit. And if you're not walking in the Spirit of God, you're going to be walking in the flesh. And you're going to be following the flesh. You're not being led by the Spirit of the Almighty into the truth. Because the truth is what sets you free, whether it feels good or not. And we don't like to not hear that because we're selfish, we're prideful. We don't like people to do that. But when you can learn that they're telling you that in love, and the pastor didn't come home with you, he ain't preached, he hadn't heard gossip on you, it's just the Holy Spirit speaking straight to you and telling you it's time for a change. It's time for you to lay it all down to the Lord and trust Him and bury the past, quit trying to look back and look back to Egypt, look back to the things of life, even the victories in your life, and try to make all that work the same over again, because it will work. It won't work that way again this time. There are certain things that might, but when it's related to God, He is always in the changing business. He's always wanting to get you to glory, to glory, to glory, to the next place in your righteous life and walk with Him. So, secondly, in order to move on to the new things in Christ, you must know that you cannot allow your past failures to possess you. You know how you know when somebody's being possessed by their past? They like to talk about it a lot.
That's right. That's right.
Y'all heard me the other night, if you was here at CR, talk about my testimony of how God scolded me. You know, I like to talk about my past. He's like, why are you keep talking about the snake days, the years of when you was this and you was that? When are you going to start talking about now, when what I have done and what you can do in me? All these things, and that's part of the power of the testimony. You can talk briefly about where you come from, but you can't be stuck in it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't use that part all over and over again. So He wants to adjust that. He wants to adjust that in your life. Don't dwell on the past. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, all sin and what?
Fall short of the glory of God.
That's right. And He goes on, and we're never going to get it all right. We're never going to make all the right decisions, are we? Amen? We're never going to do that. We're never going to please everyone, and we're not even always going to please God.
That's right.
Ain't you glad, He's a loving God that don't hold that against you?
That's right.
He don't forget it. He chooses
to remember it no more.
Praise God. That's a loving God. That's a God you can go to. A Father, a good, good Father.
Right?
That's a good, good Father. The children of Israel had failed God miserably. Every time He blessed them with good things, y'all remember? Every time they returned to Him, what? Evil. Evil things. God gave them the temple. They gave them idols, didn't He? Worship. God gave them truth. They lived and proclaimed a lie. They just began to just lie. God gave them His commands. They lived like they were a suggestion.
I like that.
Boy, God gives the specifics, don't He?
Yes.
What do we want?
No. Oh, well, maybe I'll do it.
We want to stay in the non-specifics.
Maybe He didn't really mean it that way.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm going to pray about that a little more. I believe He meant for me to have this.
Uh-huh.
Yep. My question is always, how's that working for you?
Sometimes I'm understanding the non-specific situations.
Ooh, that was very good. We choose sometimes to misunderstand or not apply ourselves to understand it because that understanding will require things from us that we do not want to do.
Amen. That's right. God gave them wealth. He gave them wealth, riches, and they used it and abused it. Reminded me of the prodigal son, right? He squandered it all. He had an inheritance fit for a king, anything and everything he needed, and he squandered it all because of his foolishness and his foolish pride. And God gave them Himself. They gave Him nothing except rejection. The children of Israel did not deserve to receive anything from God, just like all of us. We don't deserve anything from God, do we? We don't like to say that. Yet He still loved them, and He continued to love them all the same. His love never changes. He's this way. Right? He's this way. He don't change. He don't look at things the way we look at it. Like, whoa, this one right here. He killed a man. This one right here abused a child. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Our mentality is this one's here, this one's here. This one's here, this one's here. But God is this way. He never changes. He never changes. His love never changes. We grieve Him. We grieve the Holy Spirit. It even said He got angry, didn't He? But it doesn't, the only thing He don't change, because His love is the same. So the children of Israel didn't deserve to receive anything from God, yet He still loved them. Notice God, and notice God's message. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. He said, see, I'm doing a new thing. Why do you think see that I'm doing a thing? See, He wants to change our focus. It's like binoculars.
Right.
So, Dante, you a little worried about that. Oh, there he is. There, that's my... He wants to change our focus.
That's right.
So He's talking about seeing. See it. See it. I am doing something. Why can't we see it? Our minds are clouded with selfishness, and we're clouded with the worldly things and the fleshly things, right? Come on. But when we're in the Spirit of God, when we're walking in the Spirit of God and He's leading and guiding us and directing our path, guess what? We can see it.
Spiritual
eyes. Spiritual eyes. Yes. And those spiritual eyes are going to lead you down a path where you don't fall in the ditch. And you don't even leave the guy behind you in the ditch. Like it says, one's going to leave the other in the ditch. And so you got, He says, see it. God was not condemning them from their past here. Look at it. He wasn't. There was nothing they do at that point to change it either. There was nothing they could do at that point to change the past. And if you're here today, if you've messed up, even to yesterday, or maybe even this morning, maybe on the way to church. There's a lot of fights going on the way to church, especially with couples and marriage.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, you can't change that, can you? It's like words. That's why they say it says they're blessings or curses. Those words, they're cut like a knife. That's why it's the sword. And it speaks. When you speak things, you better be careful. You hurt people. Pastors, teachers, you're held higher accountable. Because when you say things and do things, you're the one that's guarding that person's soul, actually, as a pastor. You're the one that's supposed to be as a shepherd. And so you've got to be careful that you need to have spiritual eyes to see that God wants to move you to the next place. God was holding out His hand of hope for them. He's in effect saying, forget about your past. I'm giving you opportunity to start over.
Yes.
That's right.
Bless you. I'm giving you the opportunity to start over. How does He do that? By grace.
That's right.
By Jesus. Because He took all of our sin upon Himself because of His love. So that you and I can be forgiven. 7 times 70.
Amen.
You're supposed to forgive others, and God forgives you every time when you repent. He don't just say, well, no, that's, you did too much right there. I can't forgive you for that one. Ain't you glad today for His grace? Ain't you glad that His love is that way?
Amen.
So He's telling them, forget about your past. I'm giving you the opportunity here. Glory be to God. He's saying, you know, it'll be okay, but one thing that we have to do is what? Repent. That's what we have to do. Why is it so hard to repent to some people? You have to admit you're wrong. Yes, you do. Who are you ashamed of?
Yourself.
Guilt, shame. Gosh, I've done it again. I'm not the only one in here, right, that's felt that probably this week, whatever. Oh, Lord. It's all right. I forgive you. Repent of your sins. One thing we got to do, though, is be converted. God wants to convert us out of that mindset, out of that old pattern. Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake his ways and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. Praise God. And to our God, he will freely pardon. Praise God. If you're going to get anywhere in your spiritual life, you must understand you cannot live on yesterday's faith.
That's right.
You can't. You can't live on yesterday's faith. I'm telling you, it's not enough. Because every day is a different day. But every day in Him is a good day. And every day in Him, you have stronger faith. It's by faith. And every day, the children of Israel had experienced great spiritual blessings throughout their whole history, throughout their all the things, all the way back when they were delivered from Egypt. From the first Passover, even. From the crossing of the Red Sea, to the conquering of the land of Canaan, to the building of the temple. The children of Israel had seen the hand of God at work through all throughout their lives. Yet their faith is what God had done, was doing nothing to deliver them from their present situation. Their old faith was not sufficient enough to deliver them from their present problems. Somebody tell me what that means. I heard somebody breathe. They're fixing to come out with it. Bethany.
Do you want a personal example?
Yeah, why not? Come on.
Okay, so I used to work with women in ministry, and even before I came to Good Shepherd, I heard 6 months before that, you will work here, and I told God you were crazy, because I didn't have the faith that in myself, and I didn't have the faith in the situation he would put a woman in that position.
Mm-hmm.
And so my faith had to, I had to lose all faith that I knew in everything to reestablish a brand new faith that could start it with a seed to grow differently every day.
Very good.
Very good. Very good. Thank you for sharing that. So Psalms 85:6-8 tells us, will you not revive us again? That your people may rejoice in you. Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. So the second step to embracing the new thing, what God wants to do in your life, is to get specific with your focus. You got to get specific with your focus. Discover what God wants for you. You got to discover what He wants for you. And then when He opens the door, walk through it. You got to walk through it. And then you got to trust Him for it. You got to trust Him. And it's in His timing. It's not what you think and when you think and when will this be done. You just keep walking by faith. That's the change in faith right there. That's trusting in God in a whole new way. Amen? So you have to get specific. Forget the former things. You can't dwell on the past. You can't change the past. And He says, so see, I am doing a new thing, He said. I love that. That God loves us so much, He ain't going to leave us stuck if we really trust Him. He said, I'm doing a new thing. But why is He doing a new thing? Because He wants you to grow up. He wants you to mature in Him. Paul gives us, as firstborn again believers, we're considered, he says, like a baby. Right? What does a baby have to do to survive?
Cry.
Cry first. Well, yeah. What does he have to do to continue to survive? Huh? Eat. That's right. He's got to eat. If he ain't fed, he's going to die. What happens in Christianity? If you don't go get fed the Word of God, if you're not feeding yourself, you're going to die. All that is going to just wither away, and you're going to miss the future. And the future and of what God has for your life. You get stuck. You get stuck in the world and you get stuck in your own capabilities and everything else. So, now, listen to this. Now it springs up. Do not perceive it, he said in that scripture. Is it not clear? He said, I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Perceive. That word perceive means to know by seeing. Means to know by seeing. Care, recognition, acknowledge, aware of, understand. So what do you see when you view your life right now? What do you see?
Confusion.
That's good.
And what is confusion? It's not of God, because he says God is not the author of confusion. So this is what I'm talking about. We need to get specific about our focus.
Yes, that's good.
We have to stay in a place of hope and trust and all the fruit of the Spirit in him, because then we're not confused.
That's right.
We're walking by the Spirit. There's no confusion. His promises are yes and amen. Yes.
If you're confused, I don't know who said that, but you haven't got to the point yet where you can see where God can use your mistakes as a testimony and as a springboard for the rest of your life.
Very good. Yeah.
Very good. And listen, that's what we call in our teaching and stuff is a non-specific. It's okay to be right there, right this moment. It's not okay to stay there.
Yeah. You can't, and we learned Friday too that the Holy Spirit speaks in specific. So the Holy, you can't walk with the Spirit if you can't get out of that non-specific.
That's right. He wants to be specific. He's not holding back. You're the one that's holding him back. Why are you holding him back?
Don't want to hear him.
Oh, you faithless generation, yeah. He said. Even riding in the boat with his disciples who walked with him, who heard his preaching, who everything. And they woke him up out of the storm, right? Y'all know the story?
That's right.
He's like, why are you like that? Oh, you faithless. Faithful.
Ye of little faith.
Ye of little faith.
How long will I be with you?
How long will I be with you?
You're not going to get this.
That's good. How long will he be with you now? I'm not no spring chicken no more.
That's right. Uh-oh.
Listen, time is changing. The world keeps turning. And when we're stuck, we're stuck. And we don't need to be that way. God wants us to change. So, do you see possibilities or problems?
Both.
So what is out, which one's outweighing the other? The problems or the possibilities?
According to how non-specific is, because your stress is high and your problems will outweigh the possibility. But if you can problem solve, then you're going to be specific.
It also determines on the person's faith.
Exactly.
And what kind of glasses you got on that?
Yeah, need some real thick ones, right?
Well, what kind of?
Readers, at least.
Well, for me, in some areas of my life, I see possibilities. And
that's
in
right.
Other areas of my life, all I see are problems.
Problem picture.
Yeah.
Why is it then usually the possibilities is second?
The enemy.
The problems are usually first.
And you don't pray enough.
We're not walking by the Spirit. That's all we see because,
yeah.
Listen, we all know we're a dysfunctional bunch, right?
Amen.
We all have problems, and we don't care to put it out there. I have so many. I'm still a work in progress. And
drugs or donuts, it doesn't matter.
Drugs, donuts, yeah, it doesn't matter. But if we let the problems be first, we're led by the flesh.
Yes.
Right.
We're not going to be led by the Spirit. We're not going to be led into the truth. The truth will set you free. And that is that God has a plan and a way. Let me keep going. The children of Israel had a choice. They could choose to view their past and their problems or their present, or they could focus upon what God wanted to do in their life.
That's right.
You see, when you take focus off of what you want to do and what God wants to do in your life and through your life, everything changes. Everything changes in your life. You, when you just follow God in faith, like, and you trust Him and you have hope and you have a future. Look, it says, the way versus the desert, the streams versus the wasteland. Listen to me right now. In order to discover what God wants for you, you have to see yourself as God sees you. Wheels are spinning. How does God see you? You ever think about that?
Mm-hmm.
A lot don't. How does God see you?
His children. When He looks at us, He sees us through the shed blood of Christ. He sees righteousness. He sees His children. He loves us.
That's right.
He wants nothing but good for us.
He sees us as He intended us to be created and how we will be when we're in heaven.
That's right. That's right.
But
if you got one of them days you beat your head against the wall and you can't figure out exactly why you keep beating your head against the wall, then you're not going to see yourself that way.
Okay, then good. Good point. Mm-hmm. Brought me up to my next point. The children of Israel saw themselves as they were getting just exactly what they deserved. Anybody ever feel that way?
Yes.
I'm getting exactly what I deserve. Can I tell you, quit? Quit that. That's not God.
That's right.
God don't look at you that way. We feel that way.
He sees your potential.
He sees your potential. He sees the end. He is the one that created you. He knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. He had a plan and purpose for you all the way from the beginning to the end. He's outside of the box. He don't look at right this moment and He don't look at the past. He knows from beginning to end. Amen? And so that's what He does.
Can I tell a little story about
yes.
One of the great ministers and writers of in the Catholic tradition is Thomas Merton. And when he was being ordained, you know, laying on of hands for as a minister, he started laughing hilariously. And people said, this is a solemn moment. Why did you do that? And the reason he laughed is because God gave him a vision of how all his stupid mistakes, and he was an atheist for a while, and a very prideful, etc., but were steps for him to reach this point so he could be an effective minister. And that's why he was laughing. Lord, you straightened out all this mess.
Yes.
I have to leave to take care of my wife.
Okay. Thank you, brother. We're going to wrap up here. God won't never have anything more to do with them is what they were thinking. Anybody ever felt that way? I don't know. I've been so bad. I ministered to a young man in the jail Thursday night. He says, God don't love me, and I don't love myself. And I said, well, you know that's not a reality. He says, well, I believe it is. And I said, well, and I took him a scripture. Tears began to come out of his eyes. And he says, how can God love me that way? I said, because He loved you from the beginning. He's not changed His mind. Maybe you made some mistakes in here today. All of us have. But God does not hold that against you. Romans 8:28-1 says, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And then it goes on in verse 2, because through Christ the law of the Spirit of life set me free. This is Paul, from the law of sin and death. This is right after he had the chapter, why? Oh, that this wretched man that I am, Paul said in Romans 7. Colossians 1:21 and 22 says, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled and in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. Amen? Thank you, God. That's the way he looks at us. That's the way his focus is on us. So when we change our focus off of the problem and we put them on the future, we put them on the right now and take them off the past, we begin to see how God looks at us and we know these scriptures, then guess what? Our life becomes full of joy and hope and a future. And so God wants us to see it the way he sees it. And in order to discover what God wants for you, you have to see your possibilities. You have to see your possibilities as God sees them too. Anybody know the scripture? And I know, Joshua, give me the scripture. I have a what for you?
Jeremiah 11.
Yes.
For I know the plans I have for you.
The plans to what?
Prosper and not to harm you.
Not to harm you.
Plans for hope and a future.
Hope and a future. You have to understand that is the way God sees you. God is able to transform the desert area of your life into the field of blessing and abundance. God can take a dried up, useless life like he did with me. He can take it and transform it into a life of purpose and grace. And God can take an old wretched sinner, it don't matter where you are and how bad you've been, and transform you or them into something beautiful and into the image that he created you for, like the stream that flows, like in the scripture, with riches above far and beyond all that you can imagine. Look at your neighbor and tell them, God ain't done with you yet. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory and being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The greatest step to embrace the new thing, what God wants to do in your life, is this. Commit yourself to God's plan. You have to commit yourself to God's plan. God's already set it into motion. That's hard to imagine, isn't it, though? God has already set it into motion. It's our obedience. He's waiting, though, for us to step into it. And he's wanting us to. And the event and the people who lead Israel out of captivity back in the land are a blessing, but it was still up to them to decide if they wanted what God was offering. It was still up to them. It's still up to us every day whether we want to get up and serve him, whether we want to follow God, we want to go to meetings, we want to go to church, we want to tell others that there's hope. And there's a future. There's a lot. And it's up to us. That's called free will, everybody. He gives us free will. He said, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. It says, do not perceive it. What does that perceive it mean? What does perceive mean?
How you look at it.
Yeah, it's not how you see it. It's how he sees it. You don't perceive it because guess what? We'll get it wrong. we'll start trying to make things happen. We'll mess it all up. We'll mess it all up. He says, don't even try to perceive it. I am making a way. In other words, God, He takes it off our shoulders. And He says, I'll do it. I'm making a way. Just trust me with it. And in the desert and streams in the wasteland, God's already set it in motion. A new direction. A new purpose for your life. The question today is, will you follow Him? Just like He told His disciples, follow me. Take up your cross and follow me.
Take up your cross, deny yourself.
That's not an easy place to go, is it?
No.
Why is it not easy?
Sacrifice.
Yeah, we don't want to deny ourselves. We want what we want. Flesh wants what the flesh wants. So Psalms 95, 7, and 8 in closing, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you're hearing the voice of God, you don't harden your heart to Him. Don't, as in the rebellion, He says, don't harden your heart. He is the God outside the box. He's the God outside of time and space. He's the Creator, the beginning and the end. That's why He said to Moses, when Moses was getting ready to go to Egypt to tell the Israelites, it's time to be free. I'm going to lead you out. And He says, they're not going to believe me, right, Moses? I'm paraphrasing, but He says, what I tell them? Tell them I am that I am. Sent you. Anybody know why He said that? I am that I am. He is outside of the box. He's infinity.
He's everything.
He's everything. Right. Beyond comprehension in certain ways except through looking at Jesus. Not only did Jesus come to set us all free and everything, He was like a type and shadow, like old and new, but He wanted us to see God in the flesh. You ever thought about that? He made it more tangible for us.
That's right.
He'll relate.
Because that's what we do. I can relate to Chris. I can see him. We can talk with everything else. We're with words. We can hug. We can do, you know, all kind of things. But with God, it's different, right? And He don't always answer the way we want Him to, does He? But today, I'm here to tell you, He wants you to step out in faith for a new thing. New thing, new vision. How many need that? I know I do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pray. If you're here today, I want you to just surrender your mind right now and think about what the Lord's been speaking to you. Forget about the past. It's time to move forward. It's time to trust Him. And it's time to say, I may not understand it, Lord, but I give it to You. I need You. I can't do it without You. If you got sin in your life, you need to repent right now, because that is a barrier. It's not, you're not going to get through to God if you have sin in your life. Well, that's the first thing. It's not just for salvation. It's for every day.
Yeah.
Lord, I repent of my sin. If you want to name it, you do it. He knows it. He's waiting for you. So He's like, all right, that's what I've been waiting on. Now it's time to move forward. Whatever it is, Lord, right now, thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. thank you, Lord, that you have forgiven us. And if you did that, I want you to start forgiving yourself. God wants you to forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself. You have to love yourself. It says, when they challenged Jesus with the greatest commandments, he said to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and will, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. You may be here this morning and you don't love yourself. You may have done so many things, but guess what? It's under the blood.
Yes.
Thank you that it's under the blood, Lord, this morning. All of our failures, all of our past, Lord, may we lay them right now at your feet. Would you lay your past at the foot of Jesus and say, I give it to you. I'm ready to move forward. God's got something wonderful. He's got something great for everyone in this room. Now, Lord, would you make it specific for them as they seek you? Give them spiritual eyes. Give them ears to hear. This word today, Lord, may it just be something to prick our hearts to trust you for a future. Lord, it might be that we can just have the courage to change the things right now. And Lord, you're going to help us with the things to come. Father, would you just bless everyone in this room today. Thank you that they've come here today to worship you. Thank you, Lord, they've come here with open hearts to receive from you. And Lord, I just pray blessings over them today, them and their families, their businesses, and all that, Lord, that their future, their calling, everything you call them to do. Let's listen to the Lord. Sometimes we forget. We need to hear him. Lord, would you speak to our hearts? Speak to our minds right now. Thank you, Lord. I felt like the Lord told me just God's preparing somebody for mission work. I don't know who that's for, but if that's you, just receive it today. He's preparing you for missionary work. It may not be overseas. It may be right here, but you have a missionary's heart. Thank you, Lord. That's huge. That's a huge calling. Whoever that's for. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for direction, Lord. Thank you for your freedom. It's all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.